Let's open up the Word of God to Luke 2. Plan on beginning a brief Christmas series tonight. First one will be tonight, and then the second one, which is also in this section on Simeon, will be, Lord willing, after I get back from Dune, that first Sunday, and then the third one on Anna. I plan to be on Christmas Day itself. But tonight we'll start with part of the section on Simeon, verses 28 to 32. 28 to 32 is our text. Let's begin reading the Word of God at Luke 2, verse 21. And we'll take that to verse 35. Luke 2, starting at verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That's how far we read the Word of God. Let's reread the text. It's verses 28 to 32. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, these were very discouraging days, these days of Simeon. God's voice had not been heard for a period of time. No vision, no revelation, no prophecy. You'll recall that at this time was the rise of the Pharisees and their doctrine of works righteousness and their mere outward observance of the law of God and formalism in worship. So those were all very dark things. Israel like the catechism students know, was like a ball being bounced back and forth between the nations at that time. They were a plaything of the nations. And you know your history that the Roman Empire is now strengthening its grip as well over the nation. So you put all these things together and probably more, and these are very discouraging times for the people of God. They knew, the faithful did, they knew the promise of God to send forth the Savior, but when is that going to come? And things are so dark. But there were those faithful. There were those who were yet looking for God's salvation. Among them at this time are Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, Anna, who we're going to hear about, and others, obviously, as a part of that elect remnant. They looked with uplifted eyes, and one of them in this company was Simeon. Simeon. We're not told too much about him, and we won't get into all sorts of biographical detail here, but it just says, verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and it says about him that he was a just and devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. So Simeon is a part of this remnant looking for the Savior. And what we have before us in these verses is what is sometimes called the Song of Simeon, something that he proclaims, something concerning God's salvation that he sings about. The Holy Ghost, it had been revealed by the Holy Ghost to Simeon at some point in his life that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Christ. So you can imagine having been told that and waiting with bated breath for the time that that would happen. And now on this particular day, he's led by the Spirit into the temple at Jerusalem, and there he is, the one he's always been waiting for. And he even has the opportunity to hold this little baby Jesus in his arms. That's what had been promised to him, that he would see the Lord's Christ, and he did indeed see him. God's promise was fulfilled. And now, what you have to hear in this song is the joy of this man and what he believes and his praise to this God who has prepared this salvation and sent it forth. And tonight, and we're going to hear this too, we are very really there right in that temple with Simeon as he's holding that little baby in his arms. We see it by faith. We believe it. We rejoice. And it's our song tonight too. We'll have as our theme, Simeon sees God's salvation. Simeon sees God's salvation. In the first place, let's consider the fact. And then second, the expression, what he's expressing in these words that he says, and then the response. The fact, the expression, the response. The heart of our text tonight is verse 30, where Simeon says, sings, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He's holding the baby Jesus. He says, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." That's quite something. That salvation that he's talking about, obviously, is that little baby that he's holding in his arms, Jesus himself. And this one, as we know, theologically now, is the only begotten Son of God sent into the flesh at the time of the incarnation. He is God's salvation. But you notice that he calls him salvation. So he's talking, Simeon is, about the work that this little baby will do. And salvation is this, God's work in this Christ of delivering from sin and delivering unto God. So there's a negative and a positive aspect to what salvation is. Salvation is the work that this baby will perform of delivering from sin. There is one great evil in the world, the deepest problem that there is, and it is that three-letter word, it's sin. God has brought Simeon to see just how terrible of a sinner he is. That's what underlies this song. Has opened his eyes to see the gravity of it. And the Lord has opened our eyes too to see the greatness of our sin. We need a Savior. We need someone who can pluck us from that. And that's what salvation is in its negative aspect, that God has in Christ delivered us from sin. But you never stay in that negative, although that's an important part of it, but there's the positive, which is that salvation is deliverance unto God. If sin is the greatest evil, God is the greatest good. And to be delivered unto Him is the greatest thing that could ever happen to a person. And Simeon is singing of that too. That's what Christmas is all about. It almost becomes a cliche in preaching and teaching, but I think always the children need to remember that. It's not about presents. Although it's okay if dad and mom give you presents. It's about this gift, and it's about this deliverance, and this is what gives Simeon the greatest cheer that he could ever have, and this is what gives you and me the most comfort. There's deliverance, salvation in Christ. Now Simeon sings, that salvation is, verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. That's what this salvation is. It's a light to lighten the Gentiles. The Gentiles were those that were not historically a part of Israel. They were the heathen nations of the world. And what characterized those Gentiles was that they lay in thick darkness. It was the darkness of their ignorance. The piercing, blazing light of God's gospel had not shone among them, and they live in their ignorance. And not only that, but along with this ignorance is their sin. That goes always hand in hand with ignorance, doesn't it? Their sins of fornication and violence and idolatry and so on. Indeed, there's darkness among the Gentiles. But Simeon says that salvation of God, about which we just heard, is a light to lighten the Gentiles. That word lighten means to reveal or uncover. If you're walking through the woods on a dark night and you have a flashlight shining in front of you, what does the light of that flashlight do? Well, it reveals or it uncovers what's there in the darkness. Something like that now here, that the salvation, deliverance from sin and deliverance unto God in Christ, that salvation is a light to reveal or disclose something among the Gentiles. And what it uncovers to the elect among the Gentiles is sin. Shows them all of the sins and the paths of transgression that they had been walking in. And it's a light to reveal to the elect among them the promises of the gospel. The gospel illuminates that. And it's not just that this salvation reveals the gospel to them, but they are actually saved by that light. So you see the grace of God that's totally undeserved. Whenever you read a passage about the Gentiles, don't let that ever be something disconnected. Well, that's fine and good. God saves the Gentiles, has his people among them. That's you. You are a Gentile. And that's the good news of Simeon's song for us. This light, with its penetrating brightness, has shown to you the paths of sin that you've been walking, shows to you the promises of the gospel, and you are actually saved by that light. Gentiles. The significance of what Simeon says here is that salvation is universal. Not, of course, in the sense that every man and every woman is saved, but in this sense, God has his people among the Gentiles. That is, God has his people among the nations, all the nations of the world. Salvation is universal in that sense. When you study the ministry of Jesus, that does come out from time to time. And the catechism students, again, are pretty familiar with this, because we keep on reviewing that story of the Samaritan woman. And who was that Samaritan woman that Jesus talks to at Jacob's well? She was a Gentile. And already in Jesus' ministry, it's foreshadowed that Jesus takes in unto himself his people among the Gentiles too. Simeon is talking about that. It is in harmony with the Word of God here that we go out and we're active in missions. Our churches are out in the Philippines preaching the gospel there. And we do that in harmony with this Word that says the light of salvation is revealed to the Gentiles. And our confidence, of course, in missions is that the gospel preached will be a light to all of God's people that are there too. So we think of mission work here. Simeon says that salvation, deliverance from sin, deliverance unto God, verse 32, is a light to lighten the Gentiles, but also this, it is the glory of thy people, Israel. We're familiar with Israel. Israel was God's chosen holy nation, God's people. They belonged to him. He had taken them unto himself in cords of covenant love. And to them were all the promises of the Messiah, and to them were the types and shadows that pointed ahead to the Christ child who was to come. And Simeon says now, Jesus and his saving work is the glory of Israel. In this sense, that it was a high honor for Israel to be the nation that brings forth the Savior. When you study the genealogical lines, you see that the Christ child comes out of Israel. That's a high honor for the nation. The glory of Israel, too, in the sense that Jesus himself, and now think of glory, Jesus himself is the resplendent, beautiful light of Israel. He's their Savior from sin. And he's the glory of Israel in the sense that his people shall be partakers in his salvation. They're saved from their sin and they're delivered unto God. When you look at the Old Testament, over and over again, the prophets make mention of Israel's glory and its greatness. And now you know the answer to that. What is Israel's glory and greatness? It's Christ. It's Christ. So you can understand that Jesus and his work is the glory of Israel in those different senses, but especially in this sense, he's the glory of Israel because he is a light to the Gentiles. And so those two in that very same verse are intimately connected to each other. You understand, true Israel is not limited to one nation. True Israel is found among many nations of the world. It's a Catholic church. And what is the glory of the church? It's this. It's her Catholicity. And she reflects something of the beauty of her Savior, sparkling beauty. That's the glory of Israel. She's found among all nations, tribes, and tongues. Church shines in its splendor. Simeon says something else about this salvation. Light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of his people Israel. And then he says in verse 31 this. He's talking about salvation again, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. God prepared or made ready that salvation. And right away it ought to jump out to you that if God made it ready, it must be his. And here's the glorious biblical reformed doctrine that salvation is all of God. It has its origin in him, it has its continuation in him, and it has its end in him. It's all of him. And salvation is not in any sense of man. That's what is being taught here when it says he prepares salvation. Well, that must mean it belongs to him. God prepared or made ready salvation in that he prepared Christ himself. Even before time and history, God prepared Christ. He did that in eternity. He chose Christ eternally. Christ is the elect of God. And he gave eternally all the elect to Jesus Christ. He's preparing Christ. And then, in time and history, when the appointed time came, God worked divinely in that womb of Mary, so that there's conception in that womb, and the Christ child is eventually brought forth. That was God's work. He's preparing salvation. And God prepared salvation, and that means, too, that he used all of the prophecies to prepare the way for this salvation. There were what Simeon said about a light to lighten the Gentiles. That was language that was used already in the book of Isaiah 42 verse 6, which says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles. God is preparing the way by using prophecies. And then that whole matter of the glory of Israel, that was prophesied too. Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3, which says this, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. God is using those prophecies. And Simeon says about that preparation, verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. God had been making it ready. and think of all of those years of the old dispensation. And now that he's prepared it, he's brought that forth. It's before the face of all people. God's people among the Gentiles and the Jews now would behold that salvation that he's made ready. And in a very real sense, just as Simeon holds that little baby and he sees the work of that baby and understands him by faith, that will be true of God's people too. They'll see him, understand his work by faith. So Simeon sings about the fact of seeing God's salvation. And I want you to notice that as he sings this, as he talks about this, he is in this song expressing a few things. He's expressing really three things. First, he expresses in song his joy in seeing this salvation of God. His joy. You have to keep in mind that this was a long expected salvation of God. Been waiting for it. And now that it had come, he rejoices so much. Remember, even for Israel, it had been thousands of years. And even early on, God promised to them, I'm going to send that seed. And God, as the text said, had prepared that salvation before the eyes of all his people. And they were waiting for it. But that was true for Simeon too. Not that he had to wait for thousands of years, but now within his life, at some point, as I said, the Holy Ghost revealed to him, you're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. And so from that point onward, he waited. He waited. And he couldn't wait, and that was the controlling desire of his whole life. I want to see the Lord's Christ. And now that the Holy Ghost has brought him into that temple, here's that one that he had been waiting for so long. And it's not just that he sees him, but he actually holds him in his arms. Can you understand something of the man's overflowing joy? You might say it seemed from man's perspective that the Messiah was a long time in coming. Nevertheless, God was true to his word. And that's what Simeon will say too in his song, verse 29. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. Thou didst say that I wouldn't die before I saw Christ. And now I have, exactly as God said. So he's not just rejoicing that he's seen him, but he's rejoicing that God said he would see him, and God fulfilled that promise. And when Simeon rejoices, you don't rejoice any less. Because even though you were not physically standing in that temple next to Simeon, seeing him hold that baby in his arms, you do see him, and we'll come back to this too, you do see him by faith, and you do know that he's your Savior who was born for your salvation, and you leap for joy too. He's come the first time. He's going to come the second time. And just like it was for Simeon and for God's people in the old dispensation, from our perspective, it would seem he's a long time in coming. But we remember, as then, so now, though it may seem that way from man's perspective, God will be faithful to his word then too, and he will send him upon the clouds. And that's our great hope. Simeon was joyful because the long-awaited salvation had now come. But he was joyful also because he saw this salvation. And you notice how he puts the emphasis on that. Verse 30, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Who is Simeon? Well, he calls himself in verse 29 a servant, literally a slave, that God has granted that a slave should see and hold his salvation. And he's acknowledging there his lowliness. And besides that, Simeon is a sinner. Remember, we said that's what this song is all about. And God grants even a sinner that she should hold and see this salvation and be partaker in this salvation, that this salvation, that is, should come upon him. That's something. That God should be true to his word to him, a sinner. And that's why this song, too, is stamped all over with grace, grace, grace. And that's our joy tonight, too, isn't it? I'm just a slave. And I'm a sinner. And God has opened my eyes to see my blessed Savior and to understand something of why he had to be born. Are you thankful for that? Rejoice. So that's the first thing he expresses in this song is joy. Secondly, Simeon, having seen God's salvation, expresses in song his faith. Sure, he saw with these two eyeballs in his head, his natural eyes, he saw this little baby in his arms. But much more deeply than that, he saw this Christ child with the spiritual eyes of faith. And he called him God's salvation. That faith was given to Simeon, was God's work. And even the verses stress that. It was the Holy Ghost that was upon Simeon, we read. It was the Holy Ghost who revealed to him that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Christ. And now when it comes to this whole matter of faith and how he can say the things that he does, it's the Holy Ghost who gives and who entirely works that faith in him. And Simeon believes. He sees these things with his spiritual eyes. Faith, God's work, a gracious gift. And Simeon's faith now is expressed in this song. Think about it. He calls a weak. He looks at this baby with his natural eyes now, just sees helplessness and weak, and he says, this right here is God's salvation. These eyes look at it and say, I see nothing powerful and nothing glorious here at all. Eyes of faith look on this baby and say, he's a light to lighten the Gentiles. He's the glory of his people Israel, and he is God's prepared salvation. Consider that Jesus' disciples, who had a beginning of faith in their hearts, they did not see Jesus as a baby, but they saw him preaching and actively doing miracles. And even the disciples who saw Jesus in the full force of his work, they didn't understand his death and his resurrection. And they'd only come to understand that after his death and resurrection, and particularly after the Holy Spirit is poured out. But they had all of these things right before them. But Simeon holds a little infant in his arms, and he says, this is God's salvation. Strong faith that had been given and worked by the Holy Ghost. Maybe sometimes we say, I wish that I could have been in that temple in Jerusalem And that I could have been standing there beside Simeon and seen holding that little baby, and maybe that he could have passed it off to me, and that I could held Jesus in my own arms and seen him right here. Wouldn't that have been quite something? Don't say that. And don't be disappointed that you weren't standing there 2,000 years either. And don't long for that. You do see him with those eyes of faith that have been given to you. And it's a wonderful, beautiful sight. You see him tonight. First, he's expressing his joy. Secondly, in this song, he's expressing that faith. And then third, Simeon expresses in song his praise for God's salvation. Verse 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. And you know what blessed means, because we just had that in the text for Job on Thanksgiving Day. To speak well of God, to bless him, is to praise him. And what do you speak well of him for? What do you praise him for? But this salvation. And now you can just think that the water level, as it were, of praise had been rising in Simeon's heart, and now it's just gushing over and it's spraying all over. He can't possibly contain it. He blesses God. Look what he's given. Look what he's prepared. He praises him. That's what his song is about. And if you wonder, why do we occupy so much of a worship service in singing Psalter numbers? And why at this time of the year are we going to have a Christmas program for the children of school? And that we're going to have a choir program here, Lord willing, in a few weeks for Christmas? All of this singing, why? You're praising, blessing God's name for his salvation. That's what we're doing. Of course that occupies such an important place in our lives, especially at this time of the year. Are you overwhelmed? Do you feel that water level, as it were, rising and spilling over and spraying out? So much he's given to us. Simeon, now, having seen this salvation, he has a response. And that's verse found in verse 29. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He's speaking about a relationship there. God is his Lord or master. Do you know from that Greek word which English word we get? A despot. A despot is one who has unrestricted, unlimited power over someone else. He's the Lord, and Simeon calls himself a servant, or literally a slave. God was Simeon's master, for he had created Simeon. And God was his Lord, the sovereign one over Simeon, in the sense that Simeon belonged to God. God had chosen him from eternity. And God was Simeon's owner, his ruler, for he bought Simeon with the precious blood of that very baby that he held in his arms. Simeon belonged to God. That was his Lord. And Simeon was his slave. And now you must not think of getting whipped all over and having marks on your back. Back in the plantation days. But the warmest, most loving and caring sense in which you can understand. Simeon was the slave of God. He lived in God's service. He was bound to it. And he lived in God's service by living a holy, God-glorifying life. That verse that introduced Simeon says about him that he was holy, or that he was just and devout. And we're also told about him that he waited for the consolation of Israel. He lived in an eager expectation of that. That's what a slave of the master does. And now it says, Simeon says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Depart means discharge, dismissal. Sometimes what would happen is a master would have discharge papers for his servant or slave. Simeon is being discharged from the Lord in death from earthly service, and he is, the implication is, being discharged unto heavenly service forever in sinless perfection before the face of God. That time and God's appointment had come. God the Master released Simeon, his slave, because Simeon's service to God had come to an end. He had been waiting for God's salvation, and that's come to a grand conclusion. He now sees Christ, and he holds God's salvation in his arms. And Simeon says significantly, now, verse 29, now God would release his slave. His service is completed. And God the Master released Simeon, his slave, because God's word had been fulfilled to him. You're not going to see death, Simeon, until you've seen the Lord's Christ. That's his word. That's his promise. Now it's happened. His word has been fulfilled. And now, and not a second before, he's ready to go. Discharge. There's something very precious there, beloved. Death is never an accident. When COVID pneumonia hits and a 50 or 60-year-old person is taken just like that after a few days in the hospital, when someone with a lifetime condition dies at age 20, when a little infant is taken, that doesn't happen by chance. Then you go to that relationship. He's the master. You're the slave. He has chosen you and bought you with the precious blood of Christ. You belong to Christ in life and in death. We're the slaves of Christ. And when our service to the Master, when our service on earth comes to an end, that's when we die. And for that infant, 5 days old, that infant service was done. And for that person with COVID pneumonia at 59, his service, that child of God's service was done. And it's not a second before, but right there. And the Lord discharges. And when he does that, that is always and precisely according to his word. God's word of salvation to us is sure. We do see it. We do see the Lord's Christ. And we shall see his salvation forevermore when he releases us to heaven. Simeon, the fact that he saw God's salvation afforded him such a great peace. He says that in verse 29. He sings of that. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Peace in the sense that he's satisfied. Holy Ghost said, you're not going to die before you see the Lord's Christ. He waited in breathless anticipation. He now held the Christ child in his arm. He saw him. And he has that peace in his soul in the sense of being satisfied. He had that tranquility. He saw the Christ. And God now dismisses him in a state of peace. Simeon had that peace because he understood the significance of that little one that he held in his arms. He understood the significance. Apart from Christ, there's only unrest for the soul. Only unrest. And there's war with God. But in him, in this little babe, his work, there's peace that the world can never give and can never be found in the world. There's peace with God. And now that he's at the end of his earthly sojourn, and you have to think of that perspective. This man is about to die. He's not ridden with all sorts of anxiety and filled with all of these plagging fears of one who knows he's about to die. He doesn't have that, but he had rest. He knew God's favor in Christ. And what a blessed thing that is, that a child of God like Simeon, having that peace in his soul, can die with that peace. His end is what? Where is he going? To glory, where he could enjoy God's favor forevermore. Your peace tonight, people of God, is in this Christ. When you see him, as you do now, doesn't that satisfy you? And isn't it something that in Christ we have peace with God? And when the time that your believing loved one must die, you can watch that loved one taking their last breaths, and we may have peace. And when it's your time that the Lord should take you and issue that discharge, harmony, rest. God's favor is upon me in Christ, and I'm going to heaven for eternity. God's salvation we see now and forevermore. Blessed be his name.